Last Sunday, we spoke about the Bereans and the noble mind that they had, and I felt impressed to continue on a similar vein. Talk about the mind that finds God. Or you could say the mind that wins. As a pastor, as a father, as a friend, I cannot answer all of your questions. I cannot solve your problems. I cannot run your race or believe for you. I cannot endure for you. But I can tell you of something that will take you through it all, that will overcome every difficulty, and in the end, when the roll is called up yonder, you'll be there. And that's what we're going to talk about. In Acts 24, verse 5, don't turn there, I'm just going to read a short section. The Jews are accusing Paul before the Roman governor. We have found this man a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And all the Jews assented, saying, these things were so. All shaking their head. Yep, that's exactly what happened. Was that true? I want you to set that up next to the noble Bereans who, when they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. The Jews there accusing Paul said, these things are so. President Ronald Reagan has a famous quote. He says, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they are ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so. I found that to be the case with a lot of people in the world. They don't think they're ignorant. This is they know so much that isn't so. Now, why is that? Well, because they don't have the mind of a Berean. A seeking mind. Between those Jews that were accusing Paul and those Jews in Berea, which ones had a better chance of finding God? When I was just first or second grade, probably first grade, I don't remember the details that well. Lots happened since then. I met this overconfident little infidel trying to lead me astray and tell me a falsehood. He said Santa Claus was not real. We nearly got in a fight over it on the playground. I knew that these things are so. Who else ate the cookies? If you didn't grow up believing in Santa Claus, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you did, then you left cookies on the hearth. And when you the next morning, there was either crumbs or someone took a bite out of it. It had to be Santa Claus, right? Well, I was led astray by my loving parents who didn't know any better. And I thought those things were so, only to find out that they weren't so. Maybe that affected me. Maybe that set me on a path of finding out what was truly so. I don't know. Who knows how first grade affects you throughout life. But I want you to know that error is error. Falsehood is falsehood. It's either so or it's not so. And there's a lot of people today in the world who are just so sure that something is so when it's not so. There's a lot of people today that are living with the consequences of erroneous thinking. They have come to conclusions that they are very confident in or very stubborn about, one of the two. And they are going to live with the consequences of thinking something is so when it's not so. Everyone who truly finds God and grows to Christian maturity, I'm talking about like Ephesians 4, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and to the perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm talking about that truth, okay? I'm not talking about your denomination, what you think Christianity is. I'm talking about the true mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? It's the mind. It's that minding. The minding that we're talking about. The mindset, the mind frame that you have. That if you have the right mind frame, you'll make it through. You'll endure. You'll overcome. I don't know what you're going to face. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how long till the Lord comes back. But you can give your children, a child can be born in the best Christian family and go to hell. Or a child can be born in a heathen idolatrous home and find his way to heaven. And it all has to do with the minding of that child, not the environment, not the circumstances, but ultimately it boils down to the minding of the individual, the mind frame, the mindset. And if you have the right mind frame, like those Bereans did, alacrity, the readiness of mind, the mind, the searching mind, the hungry mind, the honest mind, then you will overcome error and misinformation. You know, everyone that truly finds God and grows to Christian maturity must get there by the same mental path, mental attitude, the same minding. They all get there with the same mind. Those who do not have that mind will get stuck in some error somewhere. They will get, there's 10,000 other little paths and pitfalls that you'll get stuck in unless you have the mind that makes it through. And so I can't equip you because I don't know what you're going to face. So I can't answer all the questions. I can't tell you what to expect. I don't know what temptations you'll have. Your race is tailored, fit for you. You have to run your race. Okay? I have observed people my whole life because I've been in ministry work since I was 15 and gave my life to the Lord. And so I've been teaching Bible studies, youth pastors for many years. And I have seen a lot of people come from very bad backgrounds and do great. And I've seen a lot of people come from very good homes and good backgrounds and do terrible. I've seen people come to the church with the mind that's going to succeed, and after a while that mind changes to another mind, and I can tell they're on their way down. It's a graveyard spin. They're going to crash and burn. Why? The minding, the mental attitude, the mind frame has altered, has changed. It's all in that. I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures. Just pay attention. Regardless of where you start in life, there is a mind frame that's going to take you to first century apostolic Christianity. If you live long enough to get there, you'll be headed that way. You'll be working towards that, and God will see that, and you'll be saved because of that. How do you get from an ascetic monk to first century apostolic Christianity? How do you get from a libertine Gnostic to first century apostolic Christianity? How do you get there from a Roman Catholic, from a Muslim? How do you get to first century apostolic Christianity from a German Baptist or a Mennonite or Amish or Baptist Antinomian or a Protestant Calvinist or a Christ rejecting Jew? It's all the same way. I present to you today, it's all the same way. And you can be raised, you can be born in the home of first century apostolic Christians and go to hell. Or you can be born in the home of a Christ rejecting Jew and find your way to God. So I want you, as we talk about these scriptures today, I want you to analyze your own minding, how your mind is geared. How your mind is thinking, the mind frame that you have, and if it's not in line with what I'm talking about, I can predict you will fail. I don't care how good you look today. I don't care how smart you look today. I don't care how godly you look today. If it's not this mind frame, you will fail. However, I can go out on the street and find someone who doesn't look near as godly and good as you. And if I can find this mind frame, They're going to find their way through. And they'll pass you up and leave you behind, and they'll make it to heaven. Now I want you to understand, okay? The things that you have, that have been given to you, whether your dress, head covering, your standards, a church house, the creed that you have, those have an importance in their place. But the mind that's in your brain, the way you think, your attitude and outlook is what's going to really count. In Matthew 13:45, go ahead and turn there. Very short parable with lots of meaning. I want you to ask yourself, what is the point? What is Jesus saying? He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Period. End of parable. Very simple, right? Well, what's the point? This man was seeking goodly pearls. That had to be in place. He's seeking goodly pearls. He found many goodly pearls. He already found many goodly pearls. But in this honest, humble, seeking mind frame, he latched onto the pearl of great price, which in the parable is the gospel message, the person of Jesus Christ, the God's redemption plan, the faith once delivered to the saints. He latched on to the true goal, the true relationship with God that he could have. And immediately, all those other little pearls that had value, he immediately discarded them, sold them, forsook them, got rid of them in order to get that one. Now, you say, what's the big point? There's a lot of people in this world that will not let go of their little pearls to get that one. There's a lot of people who aren't even seeking goodly pearls. But there's a lot who have sought goodly pearls and have found a number of them. But they're not willing to let go of them to gain the higher, greater, more valuable pearl. And that's why they never grow. That's why they get stuck in a denomination. That's why they get stuck in a certain mind frame and they can't ever grow out of it. They can't ever grow up into Him in all things. Because they got some little pearls that they won't let go of, and therefore they can't have both. Have you ever looked up at the stars? I'm going to say anybody on planet Earth can do this. And I challenge you. And said, Creator, if you will guide me to truth, I will follow every bit of it. If you will lead me into your truth, the true knowledge of God, the true ways of God, the true wisdom of God, if you will show me, I will forsake everything else and follow it. Have you ever made that commitment? I guess I could ask this question. Are you seeking to change? A lot of people say, oh, I don't think I need to change. How are you going to grow? How are you going to grow? If you're not seeking to change, how are you going to grow? Turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, Jesus made some very revealing statements here. It's part of God's psychology. John 7 verse 17. The way it's translated in our Bible doesn't give the thrust of it. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. But there's something in this verse that we don't see in the English. Will do his will is not what it appears. The word is thilo. Will do means to determine, to choose, to prefer, to wish, to intend. Jameson Fawcett Brown says, if any man wishes to do his will, wills to do his will. The revised version says, if any man willeth to do his will. Okay? There's a Greek word there that's not being properly represented. Will do, we can say happens to do. No, wills to do, determines to do. That's the intent, okay? Jesus said, if someone intends to do my will, then he will know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. There's something here. The mind that determines to find the pearls and to do the will of God, to find the will of God for the purpose of doing the will of God, he's going to know. Now, we're going to go on down. I'm going to show you some other things Jesus said that goes right along with that. I ask you, are you seeking truth so you can change? Are you seeking truth so you can change? Do you desire to change to please God? Let me ask you this. Is there some error in your mind that God wants to root out? The Thessalonican Jews, no, I don't think so. Okay? I've met a lot of people who aren't seeking to change. They don't get their Bible open and read, hoping to learn something new, to grow. Growth means change. Okay? If you never change, you never grow. You ever have a garden? You ever have animals? If they never change, they never grow. A child, we love our little babies, they're so sweet. But if they never change, it would be bad. They got to grow. They got to change. They got to mature. Do you believe that until you are perfected in your knowledge of God and truth, you will be hindered in pleasing God by that which you assume to be so that isn't so? There's something in your mind today that you assume to be so that isn't so. Not in the way you think of it. Not in the way you perceived it. And God wants to root that out. God wants to show you more perfectly. And as you grow, you will see it more perfectly. More, when I say more perfectly, I mean more in line with first century apostolic Christianity. More in line with the way God sees it. It has a lot to do with priorities and values and particulars. Are your ears open to hear reproof and instruction? Are you seeking to remove all self-assumed conclusions that keep you from fully knowing and understanding and properly representing God? Are you asking God to mature you, teach you, and root out all that is you and not Him? Turn to John 5. We're talking about the mind that wins. The mind that overcomes. Regardless of what circumstances you face. John 5, verse 39. Jesus says this. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me. There's that word thello again. You've determined not to come to me. That you might have life. He goes on to say, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I know your minding. You are religious Jews. You've been raised hearing the law and expounded and read every Sabbath day in the synagogues. You've seen the temple. You've heard, you've watched the sacrifices. You are God's chosen people. And yet you have not the love of God in you, so you have been raised in the very best circumstances on planet Earth. You've been raised in Israel, in Jerusalem, in Judea, with the temple of God, the law of God, the revelation of God, and you're going to go straight to hell. Why? Because of your minding. The mindset that you have, that's why. And Cornelius, that Gentile centurion, he's going to go to heaven. Raised in the Gentile world, brought up in the Roman army. Oh, I'm sure that was a great environment. Roman boot camp, he worked his way. He's been in the Roman army long enough to be a centurion. What kind of environment is that? But because of his minding, he's going to heaven. Jesus said that. The day will come when many will come from the east and west, sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and you yourselves will be thrust out. The children of the kingdom will be thrust out. The children raised in Judaism will be kicked out. That's exactly what he was saying. I know you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another should come in his own name, him you will receive. It's all about the minding. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust, in whom you... Okay, there's a lot of things about them that they assumed to be so that were not so. He said, for had ye believed Moses, had you properly honored Moses, had you properly respected Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how should you believe my words? How are you going to believe the I am become flesh when you didn't believe the I am through Moses? The revelation of the same God, the same logos, the same word of God. If you had already been seeking God with what you have, then you would recognize me, Jesus said. If you were already seeking goodly pearls, you'd recognize the pearl of great price. And then the only choice would be willing to sell all the little pearls for the big pearl. That's another step. Are you following? Are you seeking goodly pearls today? Are you seeking truth? Are you seeking to change? Are you seeking to grow? If that's not your minding, don't expect it to happen. If that's not your minding, don't expect to find the pearl of great price. The guy that found the pearl of great price was out seeking goodly pearls. Okay? He wasn't just, you know, making the bills. Now let me give you the crux. John 6. John 6, verse 42. I want you to listen to what he says. It's a psychology lesson from the Word of God. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now the Calvinists go nuts over that. They think, there's our proof text. Yeehaw! But they stop reading is their problem. Because they don't have the minding that they need to have either. Okay? No man can come to me. It isn't, I mean, he's talking to Jews in Jerusalem. He's their Messiah. The scriptures they've been studying their whole life point directly at him. And yet they can't come to him. Why? Because you can't come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Well, how's that going to happen? He tells us. And I will raise him up the last day. In other words, the person that the Father draws has the minding that will endure. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The person who is already seeking goodly pearls from the Father, the person who is already seeking God, the person whose heart was hungering and thirsting after righteousness, they were already responding to the Spirit of God who was wooing them, who was calling them, who was striving with all men. They were responding to the light that God had been shining. And therefore, when the pearl of great price arrived, they had already been seeking goodly pearls. They recognized the pearl of great price. But he says, you don't have the love of God in you. You've not had a relationship with the Father. You've not been seeking goodly pearls. You're not seeking truth. So here's your Messiah. But you can't come to me. Quit your complaining. Quit your murmuring. You can't come to me unless the Father draw you. And unless you've already had a relationship with the Father, unless you're already seeking the Father, unless you're already responding to the Father, there's no hope of you coming to me. Let me say something here that's not exactly in line with this whole thing, but let me say, this is why it is so foolish to think that we can evangelize by lowering the bar, meeting them halfway, Christianity 50% off. Because the people who will be truly evangelized are seeking goodly pearls. They're seeking the pearl of great price. They're not seeking 50% off. They're not seeking a washed out Christianity. They're not seeking a lie. So the ones you're going to evangelize by telling a half truth are going to go to hell still. You're not getting the pearls. You're not drawing in the ones who want the pearl of great price. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore hath heard hath learned of the Father." You can be a little boy in Africa. You can be a young man raised in a Mennonite home. You can be raised in a Buddhist home. I remember reading the testimony of Kamal Saleem as a little boy. He'd look up at the stars and he'd want to please God. All he knew of was Allah and Muhammad. But God saw it. And as a, you know, anywhere in the world, you got somebody who's saying, "Creator, I don't know who you are. I know that this didn't all just happen. I know there was a creator. I know there's a God. Show me your truth. Guide me. I want to know you." You think God's going to send that person to hell? Think about it. Oh, well, he never prayed the prayer. Do you think God's going to send that person to hell? They're following the light they have more than the kid in the Baptist church who prayed the prayer three times because he didn't know if it stuck the first time. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. We went over this in the Sunday school, but I just want to show you quickly some points here. Philippians 3:4. The Apostle Paul, as a young man, was seeking goodly pearls. The Apostle Paul, as a young man, was listening to the voice of God. Okay? A lot of Protestant teachers today want to make, "Oh, Paul, he was a murderer." No, he wasn't. Okay? Paul was a zealous, youthful young Jew. He could have been out doing his business elsewhere instead of sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. As a young man, Paul was seeking God. He was seeking truth. Okay? He said in verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh." He's talking about Judaizers. He says, "I know where they're at. They are very pleased with their little pearls to the rejection of the pearl of great price." He said, "I was there once. I had sought goodly pearls, and I had a bunch of little pearls." He said, my values, my religious marks of identity, my anchors of security, my realm of understanding, the strongholds in our minds, these are all our little pearls, things that we think are so." Okay? There's a lot of people in having confidence in the flesh, and this is talking about our religiosity. In Paul's case, he's talking about, he said, "If any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the justification which is in the law, blameless." In other words, you know, I was doing it all according to the Jews. "And I thought these things are so." And there was nothing wrong with the particulars. It's the way he had them viewed. It was what he was doing with them. It was the way he was putting upon them made good things bad. They were never designed to be used the way he was using them. The pearls, the little pearls he had found, were never designed to keep him from the pearl of great price. They were used to sell, to buy the pearl of great price. Okay? They were to lead him there. They were to give him understanding of pearls so he could recognize the pearl of great price. There's a lot of people who have confidence in the flesh. "Oh, I go to such and such church. This is my denomination, my lifestyle, my dress, my head covering, my diet, my transportation, my liberty, my primitive living, my last name, my family and heritage, my creed, my nationality, my standards. All those things can be good in their place. And they can be nice little pearls. But what are you going to do with those pearls when God shows you greater light? And how did you get those pearls? And why do you have those pearls is largely an issue. Paul says, "What things were gained to me, all my little pearls that I had found thus far, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. We're talking about the minding of the Apostle Paul. Okay? Paul says in Acts 23:1, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council of Jews, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. That means before conversion, after conversion. Paul had been raised a young man in Judaism. He had lived in all good conscience before God. He was seeking goodly pearls. He wanted to know God. He wanted to do what was right. He was the most zealous when it came to trying to protect Judaism from this sect of the Nazarenes. Things he thought were so were not so. And the only way he overcame it was the mind, the minding of suffering all loss for Christ. When Christ met him, he said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You are struggling. Why was he struggling? Because he was honest. He was seeking. He was hungry. He did it ignorantly in unbelief. That's why God had mercy on him. But it was the minding that led him from Saul to Paul. Saul of Tarsus to Paul the Apostle. It's that same minding that overcame all those difficulties. That same minding that drove him all the way to martyrdom and heaven. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness or justification. Not having mine own things that I thought were so, but having the things that really are so. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And this all has to do with the mind that was in Christ Jesus. I want that mind. I want to think that way. I want to value what he values. I want to love what he loves. I want to hate what he hates. I want that mind. That's the pearl of great price. That's the truth of God. And I'm willing to let go of everything that stands in the way. He says, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. This is the only path, folks. If you don't have this mind, you will be derailed into a side path somewhere. If you don't have this mind, you can go straight from Living Faith Christian Fellowship to hell. You can have all the right clothes and everything, just so-so. You can be raised in a bubble of trying to protect you, and you still won't go to heaven. Not as though I had already attained, he says, either were already perfect. Wait, what do you mean, Paul? What do you mean, Paul? You're looking to change. You're looking to grow? Yeah, Paul, the apostle. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, the point of perfection, the point of having the mind of Christ, full maturity, full perfection of thought, to where everything that I think is so, is so. I've grown away from everything I thought was so that's not so. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I wonder how many in this room think you've apprehended. I wonder how many think that if I think it's so, it's so. I got it all figured out. I don't need to change. I can tell you who needs to change. It's not me. That's a lot of people with that attitude. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. In other words, forgetting all the little pearls. All the stuff that I used to think was it. All the stuff that I used to think was, you know, so. I realize it's not so. Let it go. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The truth. The real truth. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. Why, Paul? How did this happen, Paul? Why did God do this for you, Paul, and not for every Jew? Because Paul says, I was already seeking goodly pearls. I've been seeking God, and he knew it from my youth. I've been maintaining a clear conscience before God from my youth. And the only thing that really started messing with my conscience was this sect of the Nazarenes. I was struggling. That was bothering my conscience, but I couldn't figure out what the deal was. All I had ever heard about Jesus was he was an imposter, and these people are imposters. He had heard all the bad press. When once the Lord opened his eyes, that's all it took. He began to search the scriptures and seek God and with a greater understanding, and he followed Christ with the same minding that he had been seeking God all along. What's the key that Paul found? Turn to Philippians 3, verse 15. Listen to this. 3:15. He just described what he's going to say, and now he's going to say it. Let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded. You listening? Thus minded. The mind he just described. Is that your mind? Are you thus minded? If not, unless you repent and become thus minded, you will not make it. If you repent and become thus minded, you will make it. And that's the crux of the matter. Listen to what he says here. Be thus minded, and while you are thus minded, if in anything ye be otherwise minded, in other words, if anything is not so that you thought was so, God shall reveal even this unto you. Because that's the principle. That's the path. That's the mechanism. That if you are thus minded, you are seeking goodly pearls, but happy to sell them for the greater pearl. If you are thus minded, then God will reveal to you the greater pearls. It's the need of the hour in Christendom. I am so weary with trying to show people the greater pearl, but they like those little pearls. I just don't want to give it my little pearls. But can't you see this pearl is more consistent with Scripture? This is the greater pearl. That pearl of great price was in the parable was the kingdom of God, the person of Jesus, the Messiah. But once you come to the Messiah, are you perfected in knowledge? When Paul came to the Messiah, he was still thus minded. He had not apprehended. He found Jesus, yes. Just tell him to, as long as you find Jesus, but there's a lot about Jesus you need to perfect your thinking about. You may say, well, I found Jesus. Paul may say, you don't even know him. You got so many misconceptions. You got so many false conclusions. There's so many things that you assume are so that are not so. Paul said, you need to be thus minded. And while you are thus minded, if you are mistaken on something, if you have a wrong concept, God will show you. In Acts 17, we've got a little bit of time left here. Acts 17. Paul is talking to idolaters in Athens. Athens was known as the very religious city. Probably the most religious of all Gentile cities. There were more idols and shrines and altars to every god under heaven that they could imagine. Okay? And yet, there was an altar that was quite honest to the unknown God. They wanted to make sure, just in case we've missed him, we want to make sure we get him too. Okay? And you can laugh at that, but there were some people in that place who had grown up there, who had grown to prominence there, who had never yet come to God, but they were headed that way. I want to show you. Paul is brought to the Areopagus. That's the Athenian court. They wanted to know, what's this new God you're presenting? We want to know about this, because they were very concerned about these things. And Paul says, verse 22, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are very religious, is what it should say. They're very religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye unknowingly worship, is what it says. Him declare I unto you. I want you to know this God. Well, that perked their ears up. At least some of them will notice there's a difference. The God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, he hath made of one blood all nations for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, all of them, if haply they might feel after him and find him. How are they going to do that? It's that mind I'm talking about. Okay? If they were thus minded, this would happen. Feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And as the times of this ignorance God winked at, he allowed. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent of this misconception, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him. Why? They were thus minded. Certain men clave unto him, among which was Dionysius the Areopagite. That means he was one of the judges of the Areopagus. He'd been in Athens most likely his whole life. He had rose to prominence. He was a judge of the court. He'd been feeling after God. The confusion in Athens had not given him what he wanted. But suddenly there it is, the pearl of great price. He found it. He was ready for it. Why? Because he was thus minded. Turn to Romans chapter 2. With this I'm going to close. But it establishes also the fact that even in the heathen world, this makes the difference. We're talking about the judgment of God. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them, those wicked heathen, which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God is trying to lead you to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, that's the mind that leads from Judaism to hell, from Christianity to hell. From living faith Christianity, living faith Christian fellowship to hell. Treasure us up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them, listen, who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. Regardless of where you were born, the mind that in patient continuance in what I know, patient continuance in the light I have, seek for more light, seek for God's honor, seek for the immortality, seek for the mind of God, okay? I'm seeking after God. They're going to get eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, they know, okay? And I'll prove that, Romans 1, 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, wrong worship, and unrighteousness, injustice of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's the crux right there. He's talking about that. Obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness. They're going to get indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first, to the Christian first, to the kid homeschooled first, and also to the Gentile, the heathen, the godless, the idolaters. Okay? But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned again without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, the heathen, which have not the law of Moses, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, or a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing, or else excusing one another. You listening? Now, in evangelism, we ought to do all we can, like Paul did, to take the Areopagite, the pearl that he's been searching for. But you can explain that pearl all you want to the people who haven't been searching for it. And Jesus said, don't murmur. You can't come to me. You're not going to come to me anyways. Why? Because you've not, up to this point, learned of the Father. Up to this point, you've not been seeking goodly pearls. Up to this point, you've not been responding to the light you had. Therefore, you can sit right there and you can't come to me. You're not going to believe in me. But the Gentile which had not the law of God, who sets out wondering who made the stars, where's the God at, praying to God, Lord, show me what's right and I'll do it, maintaining a clean conscience before God and pursuing God, God will lead them. God will show them. If in anything be otherwise minded, God will reveal that to them. You say, Brother Mark, what if they don't find their way all the way to Christ before they die? God is a just judge. He will render to every man according to their deeds. Okay? We ought to help them all we can. But, you ought to be more concerned about the one who's prayed the prayer, who's been baptized, who's done the things that you think the heathen needs to do to be saved. You have already done that, but you don't have the mind that I'm talking about. Okay? That's the person you need to worry about. Because without that mind, everything else is going along with the program, but you're not headed for heaven. You're not headed for Jesus. In fact, you've really not come to Jesus yet. Though you may think you have. Because it requires that mind to come to Jesus. He said so. It requires that mind to really come to Jesus. You can be the most religious person on earth, a Jew. Go through all the rites and ceremonies. But unless you've heard and learned of the Father, you're not in the groove. You're not on the path that comes to Jesus, and you can't come to Jesus by any other path. So, as your pastor, I can't answer all the questions about prophecy, when's the Lord coming back, how's this going to work, what am I going to face in the future, Brother Mark? Well, what if this happens, what should I do? I may not be able to answer all those questions. But I can tell you, if you are minded, thus minded, you'll be fine. You'll be okay. God will hold your hand. He will show you truth. He will answer those questions in His time. He will give you strength when the strength is needed the most. He will carry you through if you are thus minded. And if you're not, there's no other remedy. There's nothing I can do for you. You're headed for hell. You're headed for deception. There's young people who've sat in this church, and I have preached my heart out to them on these very issues. Today, they're wrapped up in deception. There's families who've gone off the path. They're deceived. They've followed a false gospel. They're following a false Jesus. I can take the Bible and totally annihilate the foundation. The things that they think are so I can say they're not so. By the word of God, I can tell you they're not so. Well, why? Because they weren't thus minded to begin with. I could have almost told them when they were here, you're going to get off track, you're going to mess up, and you're going to be on some, I don't know exactly which path it's going to be, but it's not going to be the right path. Just give it a little time and you're going to fail. Just give it a little time and you're going to crash. I could have almost predicted it. If I had it, you know, I did in my heart maybe. Said, why do you think I preach these sermons? Because there's concerns that arise in my heart. Because of things people do and things people say and positions they take and attitudes I see. Why do you think I preach the sermons? But there's people who sit right on that back row where Brother Philip sits. A whole family. Week after week. And I poured my heart out to them trying to get them thus minded. But they didn't want to get thus minded. And I knew if they don't change, they're going to fail. And they did. And I've seen it. And I've seen it. And I've seen it. And you've seen it if you've paid much attention. What's the key? Deception is thinking things are so that are not so. Right? Believing you know something, but it's not so. It's not so in the way you've calculated it. It's not so in the way you think it, in the way, what you're doing with it. You know? I mean, all those things Paul mentioned, they were not bad things. Circumcised the eighth day, that's what he should have done. It would have been wrong not to. Of the tribe of Benjamin, that's nothing he had to do with, but that's a good thing. That's noble. Okay? Following the light he had, being blameless with the law, that was good. And with the knowledge he had, even persecuting the church was the right thing to do with the knowledge he had, because the law commands imposters and deceivers to be treated that way. All those things he thought were so, but they weren't so. They weren't so in the way he thought they were so. Do you see that? They weren't so in the way he thought they were so. So what cured it? How did he ever work himself out of it? Being thus minded. And that's what I want you to commit to this morning. Because if you're not thus minded, you might as well just stop coming to church, stop praying, throw your Bible away. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to grow. You're not going to heaven. If you're not thus minded now, then forget it. But if you want to get thus minded, now you're going to make progress. You're going to overcome. You're going to endure. You're going to become like Christ. To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's where you're going to go. Let's stand together. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I want you to commit right now, honestly before God. God knows whether you're honest or not. I want you to commit to be thus minded. I want you to commit to learning. I want you to purpose to change. That may be a new thought to some, but you cannot grow until you do change. I can't grow unless I change. As many as are perfect, let us be thus minded, and in that state of mind, if there be in anything, you be otherwise minded. In other words, anything where you're that's not so, that you thought was so, God's going to show you. God's going to teach you. God's going to reveal it to you when you are thus minded. Is that what you want? Is that what you're hungry for? Heavenly Father, it's our only hope. Unless you lead us to Jesus, we can't come to Jesus. Unless we're following the light you've given, we cannot receive greater light. Unless we're willing to let go of the lesser pearls, we can't have the greater pearl. Father, I pray that you, if in anything we be otherwise minded, reveal even this unto us. Let that be our heart, that we might know you in the fullness of knowing you. We ask it in Jesus' name.